I have witnesses. It's actually counting. Okay. So it's working. All right. Cool. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. How you guys doing today? Doing good? Have a great week? Get beat up really bad this week? Yeah. Praise the Lord. We're going to talk about getting beat up. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning, guys. Father, we humbly come before your precious throne. We thank you. We praise you for who you are, for being our Lord and our Savior and our God. Father, just speak through me. Use me. I want to step out of the way. I want to be used by you to speak what needs to be said so we can hear what needs to be heard. Father, I thank you. I praise you. I magnify you. I'm going to give you all the glory. Father, in your precious name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Is this thing on, Julie, is it? No, I don't think it's working. It's turned on, but it's not working. It's not working.
It's on. Just go higher,
I'm sure. Oh, yeah. Must not be there. Wow. Now, I'm usually pretty loud. I don't have to get that close. All right. Well, today is National Back to Church Sunday. I guess, like Les said, I didn't even know it was here and didn't know really why we needed one. But, we have it. So, I was asked to talk about, you know, maybe back to church, and there's lots of things. The message, I called Julie, but she didn't get my message. The message today is on part of the family. We're family. Why do you get together with your family at home? Have supper, dinner, whatever. It's to have fellowship, right? It's the same idea with church. It's a family. We say, well, all right, where's that come? There's so many verses of Scripture of children and child and you're a child of God and you're a child of the Almighty God. Romans chapter 8, I just want to tell you something. My mind is boggled. Your mind ever been boggled with so much information you had no clue where to go with it? You ever been there? I'm there today. It changed this morning. I'm like, Lord, I can't take too much of this. I got a simple little mind. And it's very fragile. And you only use 10% of your mind. I'm down to about 3. Okay? So this is too much information. We're going to look at Romans 8. We're going to start Romans 8. We're going to do a little Bible surfing today. If you got your Bibles, you're more than welcome to turn with me. Romans chapter 8. I want you to see something. We gather together here in a building. It could be a barn. The building is nothing. It's just a building. Okay? This is not some hallowed, sanctified place. It is a building. You know what makes it hallowed? You know what makes it sanctified? You being here. Why? Because God lives in you. God lives in you. Romans chapter 8. And I'm going to have to... My notes are just going to be there and I don't even know I'm going to look at them. Because Dwayne... You confirmed something for me this morning, brother. Confirmed something for me. So, let's go on. Romans chapter 8, we're going to start in verse 14. It says, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God." That Spirit is the Holy Spirit. For Him to lead you, you have to invite the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Lord and personal Savior, and then He sends the Holy Spirit who indwells you.
Yes,
really? The Holy Spirit is the power of God. When you start looking in the Bible at the Holy Spirit, when the Spirit come upon them, it was power.
Yes.
Do you feel that way when you get out of bed in the morning? No. Do you feel that way this week? No. You feel beat up? Yeah. Sore. Man, God was just beaten this week. Beaten. It reminded me, I heard a story, I chuckled when I heard this, because this week has been one of them weeks. And it's like there was a man who was, every part of his body hurt. Every part. No matter what he touched, it hurt. So he goes to the doctor. Doc says, "Okay, what's going on?" I said, "Doc," he said, "every place I touch hurts. It hurts, everything." He says, "What?" "Every place hurts." Doctor looked at him for a little bit and he said, "I don't think there's anything wrong with you. I think your finger's just dislocated." Huh? Is that us? Is that us? Yeah, it is. It's us. Romans 8, verse 15 says, "For the Spirit which you have now received is not a spirit of slavery to put you once more in bondage to fear, but you have received the Spirit of adoption, The Spirit producing sonship and the bliss of which we cry, Abba, Father. That's Father. Father. Do you talk to God like that? Father. Father, help! Help! This morning in Sunday school, when He don't answer, and He doesn't show up, and you're like, God, you got to do something. Ever been there? You got to do something. And it's silent. You know, I think that's the time we're learning. We're learning that even when it doesn't seem like He answers, He does. Because He's working on that problem. He's dealing with your life. He's moving on that. You are children. You are adopted. There's a lot of adopted kids. They have no parents. So a mother and father come along and say, you know what, we're going to take that child and we're going to raise it as our own. We're going to love it. We're going to nurture it. And it's going to grow up and we're going to train it. And it's going to be ours. That's what God did to you. That's what He did to me. He said, you are mine. And I'm going to raise you up. And the stuff that comes upon you, I'm going to be right there with you. In strength. And you're going to learn how to trust me. Been there? You guys are all looking pretty sour-faced yet this morning. Praise the Lord. Let's keep going. It gets better. It gets better. Verse 16 says, the Spirit Himself testifies together with our own spirit, assuring us that we are children of God. Do you feel like you're a child of God? Do you know that without a doubt? Yeah. It gets better. Verse 17. And if we are His children, if you are children of God, then you are an heir. What? You're an heir. That means that everything He owns, you're an heir to. What doesn't God own? I don't know of anything. He owns it all. Huh? You're an heir. Oh, I'm going to look at my notes because I want to tell you about this. An heir, it means getting by appointment, shared by lot, and by implication, a possessor. You are a child of the Almighty God. You are a possessor of all that He owns. Yes. What? Do you feel that way? No, we feel like... Huh? You know we do. It gets better. And fellow heirs with Christ. You're not just an heir. You are a fellow heir. Fellow heir. You are sharing with the sufferings of Christ. This word is only used twice. It is to experience pain jointly. What? I thought when I became a Christian, my life was flowers and rose petals and nice, pretty music. Huh? No! You are a child of God. He's got to get you someplace to a point where you can say, I know the boy. I know the guy. I know him. At work, I've had guys tell me, they said, you the man. I said, no, I'm not, but I know the man. I know the man. I'm not the man, but I know the man. Huh? And I said, he don't work here. I know the man. Huh? So you're a child of God. You're an heir. You're a possessor. You're a joint heir with Christ and all His suffering. And what's that all about? Only we must share His suffering if we are to share His glory. Christ is seated at the right hand of God, interceding on behalf of the saints, yes. You and me. Really? So why do we feel beat up? Because we are. It's like if problems don't come in your life, how are you going to know how powerful God is? If troubles don't come at you, how are you going to know how powerful God is? We're talking about getting to church. Dwayne was back in Chronicles this morning. I found a verse in Chronicles. It beat me up. Beat me up. We're going to go to 2 Chronicles chapter 15. When you go to 1 Kings, 2 Kings, Chronicles, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, it's telling you about what's happened in the Bible to this point, only again. It's like he's telling you twice. You hear this. It's like almost like God's trying to get your attention here. 2 Chronicles chapter 15, there's some verses of scripture here that I think apply to the church today. Okay? Big church. Big C church. 2 Chronicles chapter 15. And when Dwayne said he was in 1 Chronicles, I thought, because I wasn't going to go here. I was not going to go here. It's like, okay, I will. Okay, I will. So, in 2 Chronicles chapter 15, and I want to start in verse 3. Asa, he's a king at that time. He's come back from a big battle. He's winning. This guy gets this vision. The Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Obed. And he comes to Asa and he's going to say, I'm going to tell you something. Listen to these verses of Scripture and you tell me if it doesn't sound like, this was thousands of years ago. But you tell me if this doesn't sound like what we're dealing with today. Listen to this. In verse 3. Now for a long time, Israel was without the true God. Didn't say they didn't have God. They say without the true God, without a teaching priest, and without the law. Listen to this, verse 4. But when they're in their trouble, turned to the Lord, the God of Israel, and in desperation earnestly sought him, he was found by them. Listen to this. And in those times, in the times when they were without a true God, listen to this. And in those times, there was no peace to him who went in, nor him who came, to him who went out, or him who came in. But great and vexing afflictions and disturbances were upon all the inhabitants of the countries. You turn your news on lately? There's a lot of junk going on out there, isn't there? Listen to this. Listen to this. Nation was broken to pieces against nation and city against city, for God vexed and troubled them with all sorts of adversity. What? God! It says God did this! Israel! Verse 3 is the point of this whole thing. Look at this. Now, Israel was out the true God. You see, you've got people dealing with God today. They want him to be a genie. They want him to pop out of the bottle whenever they snap their fingers. They want God to answer their prayers immediately. They want God in their way, not in God's way. The true God. The true God spoke the worlds into existence. The true God formed you in your mother's womb. The true God knows you intimately, inside and out. You can't hide nothing from him. The true God, he's God. It says Israel was without a true God. They had God. The sacrifices were still going on. They're still sacrificing animals. They're still having their church meetings every Sunday. They didn't have a true God. What's the second thing here? They didn't have a true God. They're without a teaching priest. And this is where it hit me. The priests were still there. They were still offering sacrifices. They were still doing stuff. I wrote this down. Absence of spiritual leaders who took seriously the authority of Scripture. How serious is this book in your life? How much of a part of this Bible is in your life? This is the inerrant, alive, powerful Word of the Almighty God. When you carry that in your hands, there's power there, guys. There's power. Do we walk around like a bunch of bums? Eeyore, woe is me. You know, I thought that this morning. It's like, woe, thanks for noticing me. Really? You're a child of the Almighty God. Out in the world, it's hard to stand that way. When you come to church, you got people that say, brother, how you doing? You have no idea what I went through this week. Tell me about it. Been there, done that. Huh? Yeah, power of God. I got to read you some stuff here. Preachers are not politicians. I'm not a preacher. But a person who brings the Word of God is not a politician. Politicians need to be liked. Preachers need to say the truth. If you've got a problem with something someone says when they're preaching, I want you to put this in your head. This is future reference. If someone's preaching something, you go, I didn't really like that sermon. You ever say that? I didn't like that sermon. I didn't like this one, but I got it. He gave it to me. I got to do what I got to do, right? It's like, I don't really like that. The question to ask is, was he speaking truth? If you don't like what he's speaking, and he's speaking the truth, you got a problem with God, not the guy speaking it. So don't get mad at the guy. You can. Ain't going to help you. God's the one saying, you know what I'm saying? You're sitting out there in a pew before, and somebody says something like, he's talking to me. How do he know? He's talking to me. We know that, right? All been there. That's the Holy Spirit. That's his job. What's the third thing? And without the law. I see this in our country today. There's been doing a lot of statistic things on the radio. I listen to Moody Radio, kind of get it up in Cleveland. They have Moody Radio. They do a lot of statistics. And they said that 84% of the people, Christians, don't ever read a Bible. 84%. 25 years ago, this is just off the top of my head, 25 years ago, I think they were saying that, like, I don't know, it was 60-some percent of the people in the United States were Christians. It's down in the 30s now, 37%. Christianity is on a decline. Why is it? Is it because we don't have laws? We got laws. When God backs away from his law because you are not treating him with the due respect that he so deserves, and you are not treating him like God, when you take him out of your schools and you sit there and wonder, why is the school so messed up? I heard a story of Chuck Colson. I don't know if you guys knew Chuck Colson once. He's passed away. But he was a pretty interesting dude. But he was sitting beside a guy who was a principal. And he said, I can't believe school's having all this trouble. All these kids doing stuff. He goes, didn't you guys take Ten Commandments out of school? Because they were stealing stuff out of people's lockers. He says, one of the Ten Commandments is, thou shalt not steal. If you take that out of the school, what do you got? It's a mess. If you take that out of a country, what do you got? God just says, the law's still here. It's still here. It's still here. God just backs off from his law and allows you to do what you want to do. And then what happens? It's a real mess. So these people in these verses of Scripture, they had a problem with God. Think about this. They had turned their back on God. They weren't worshiping the true God. They weren't getting taught well. They weren't following his law. They had a problem with God. Did Satan bring this upon them? I don't see his name anywhere in here. I don't see it. Do you see it? I don't see Satan. Satan, he's beating me. He's on me. He's on me. Come on, he's on me. Huh? We've all been there, right? Doesn't say Satan's here at all. God was their problem. What? God was their problem. If God's your problem, he's your only solution. He's your only solution, guys. If God is your problem, he's your only solution. You can read all the self-help books you want to read. You can read all the junk you want to do. It ain't going to do it. It's not going to cover what God's... Because I got a problem with what you're doing. And that's the job of the Holy Spirit. We've all been there. You think, somebody's preaching. Somebody's saying, that's the Holy Spirit going, hello, I'm still here. Hello, right? That's his job. And I thank God. I praise the Lord that this church is taught Bible. We have four people that are teaching this right now. And I stand in amazement at the authority of the word being preached. The authority, power of God. Because that's where it's at. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Did you like that? No, it beat me up. I got beat up all week on it. I'm like, God, what are you trying to do here? This is where we're at as a country. So where do we fix? How do you fix that? How do you fix that? We have to stand on the word. We have, what's our hope? What hope you got? Dinner's coming. A couple hours, we'll eat. Is that your hope? Huh? Is that what you hope on? You hope your car's going to start when you go up? Well, I hope that thing starts. I hope I can get home. Is that what you hope on? Do we hope on the God who, you know what? He brought that sun up this morning. You see that? You see how awesome that sun was this morning? He brought it up. Yeah. He brought it up. Isn't that cool? That's God! Ephesians chapter 3. This is kind of a ramshackle, throw-together hodgepodge. And I'll tell you why, because it was like the Lord was like, you know, as a church, we need to understand that we have one true God. We have a Lord, we have a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. God the Father sits on His throne. And the Lord Jesus Christ is seated at His right hand, interceding for you and I. When you come to the Lord Jesus Christ and accept Him as your personal Savior, when Satan comes up and says, "See that dirty dog? He's a dirty dog." I know He is. I love Him. He's covered by my blood. It's done. It don't go any further. It can't go any further. God paid the price for your sins. He paid them. You say, "Father, forgive me for my sin." He says, "Done. You're an heir. You're a joint heir with Christ. You got royal blood flowing through your veins, brother. Sister, you got royal blood flowing through your veins. You are a child of God." Can you stand up and say, "Yes"? Huh? Can you get excited about that? Yes. I want to show you a little mystery here. Ephesians chapter 3. Church. We're talking about church. We'll get back to it. Get back to church. And Paul writes the book of Ephesians. He was in prison. When we think of a prison today, I don't think we got a grasp on what prison was then. I've seen pictures. I've never been to Israel. If you ever go there, it's pretty cool. You can go visit some of the dungeons. It's nasty. It's a dirty, filthy, stinky. I work at water treatment plants. Water treatment plants treat water. You can assume what that means. It smells really bad places like that. There's places like, whew. So that's what I every time I envision that, that's a dungeon. They didn't have restrooms there. They didn't have showers there. They probably had rats. I'm thinking, this is all bad. Paul's there writing this. Most of the prison epistles were awesome, exciting, powerful, joyful, rejoicing in prison. How did a guy get like that? He knew God. He knew who the Holy Spirit and who God was. He knew who the Lord Jesus Christ was in his life. He knew. Ephesians chapter 3. And we'll start in verse 3, I guess. And he says, let's start verse 2. "Assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was entrusted to me for your benefit." Paul's saying, you know, this grace was given to me for your benefit. "And that the mystery," or the secret, "was made known to me, and I was allowed to comprehend it by direct revelation, as I already briefly wrote you. When you read this, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ." Ooh, this is pretty cool. We got a mystery. You guys like mysteries? Okay. We like mysteries. Verse 5 says, This mystery was never disclosed to human beings in past generations, as it has now been revealed to His holy apostles and prophets by the Holy Spirit. Verse 6. It is this. This is the mystery. You say, "Well, you got to tell us what it is? You tell us?" Here's the mystery. This is the mystery. Verse 6. It is this. "That the Gentiles are now to be fellow heirs." We heard that word before, haven't we? Heirs? You heard that? Yeah. Okay. "With the Jews, members of the same body and joint partakers, sharing in the same divine promise in Christ through their acceptance of the glad tidings of the gospel." Okay, this is the mystery. That you and I, we're Gentiles. Unless you're a Jew, any Jews here? You are. This mystery is that there is no longer a Gentile. There's no longer a Jew. We are joint heirs. You're not a Gentile. They're not Jews. If we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are joint heirs with the promises of God. That's the church. That's the mystery of the church. The church is a mystery. So why do we have so many denominations? So why do we have so many people say, "You can't join us"? You know it. It's like, really? This is not a place for a fat cat to come. This church came a group. It's the only group that's ever formed, not for the people here, but for the people that are not members. Did you get that? Not members. What are we here for? We're here to build one another up. We're here to pray for one another. We're here to be there for one another. But we're here to go out there and say, you know what? I got something you need. What is it? It's Christ in my life. If I see him moping around like, woe is me. Thanks for noticing me. I don't want what you got. Get away. I don't want that. Can you get a little excited? Like, yes, I know the Lord Jesus Christ, my personal Savior. Your life's a mess. I know, but he's working on it. I know, but he's working on it. He's working on me. And like, this guy's crazy. Yes, I am. I'm crazy because I know God loves me. And no matter what happens, one day, I'm going to be able to stand and say, yes, I know him. I've experienced him. I understand who he is. God. Let's keep going. This mystery, it is the Jews and Gentiles no longer. It is the church. We are the church. There's no discrepancy between male, female, black, white, purple, orange, green. Nothing. You are the church. Joined together. Heirs. Joint heirs with Christ. In his love. Let's go on. Verse 7, of this gospel I was made a minister according to the gift of God's free grace, which was bestowed on me by the exercise of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, and I got to raise my hand, I'm the least of all. If I can get up here and speak God's word, and he can get excited in me, and I can say, yes, I want to learn more. Anybody can. Remember I told you only 3%. That's all it's working. 3%. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was granted and graciously entrusted to proclaim to the Gentiles the unending riches of Christ, wealth which no human being could have searched out. There is a wealth in knowing the Lord Jesus Christ that has nothing to do with your circumstances. It has nothing to do with your pocketbook. It has nothing to do with the car that you drive. It's in him. It's in Christ. Also, verse 9, also to enlighten all men and make plain to them what is the plan. What? The plan? This plan regarding the Gentiles and providing for salvation for all men of the mystery kept hidden through the ages and concealed until now in the mind of God who created all things by Christ. He's talking this mystery, this same old mystery. This church is the mystery. Nobody knew it. When Christ died on the cross, he said, you know what? I'm going to tie you right in with all the promises Abraham got. All them promises. Them 7,000 promises that God made to the Jewish people, to Israel. They're yours. Do you believe it? Can you believe it? It's true. God's word don't lie. It don't lie. Verse 10, I like this. Verse 10. The purpose is, what is the purpose of this mystery of the church? What is this purpose? What is this church's mystery? Purpose is that through the church, the complicated, many-sided wisdom of God and all its infinite variety and innumerable aspects might now be made known. Wait a minute. Now be made known to the angelic rulers and authorities in the heavenly spirit. What did that say? The purpose of the church is to show the many-sided, complicated facets of God. Dude, why do you think when you hear different preachers preach, they can preach on the same verse and get something totally different out of it? That's the many-sided facets of God. And when we get together, we get to see Sunday school. Guys, I got to tell you, Sunday school is an awesome thing. Go to Sunday school. You can actually say, oh, wait a minute. What about this? You can actually just speak out. You don't have to raise your hand. You can actually say, no, wait a minute. You can't hardly do it here. You could. But you know what I'm saying? It's more of a site where you can say, you mean it says that? You mean that I am a child of God? You mean that I am an heir and a joint heir? You mean I got royal blood flowing through my veins? You mean that Christ, God loves me so much, He sent His precious Son to die on that cross to cover everything that I would ever do and say and screw up my life and still love me and still bring it out. And I come out smelling like a rose. Not really, but you know what I'm saying? God's working on that. My life screwed up. He's working on it. I believe He is. Let's keep going. There's a whole bunch of stuff here to cover, guys, and we ain't going to get there. There's probably 6 or 7 hours worth of stuff here. But I want you to see something. We're going to be in Ephesians 3. We're going to go to 15. We're talking about Christ here being the head of everything. It says, for whom every family in heaven and earth is named, that Father from whom all fatherhood takes His title and derives His name. Every name comes from Christ. May He grant you out of the richest treasury of His glory to be strengthened and reinforced with mighty power in the inner man by the Holy Spirit Himself indwelling your innermost being and personality. Does the Holy Spirit indwell your personality? Get out of the way, you idiot! When you learn to drive? Never said that, have you? I have. Go to Cleveland and drive. You'll figure it out. It's like the old filthy old man comes out, doesn't he? He does. Because you idiot. And I confess that sin, Father. He was an idiot, okay? I confess it as sin. All right. You know what I'm saying? You try to rationalize. You know what I mean? You're dealing with God here. He knows your heart. You go, ah! If you didn't say it, He still knows it's there. He knows it. Verse 17. May Christ, through your faith, actually dwell. And I'm reading from the Amplified here. This is pretty cool. It says, settle down, abide, make His permanent home in your hearts. May you be rooted deep in love and founded securely on love, that you may have the power and be strong to apprehend and grasp with all the saints of God what is the breadth, the length, the depth of God's love. You mean Christ is going to come and settle in me? We are supposed to be being more like Christ. We are supposed to be acting more like Christ. We're supposed to be doing things more like Christ. How you doing? Pretty good? No. I drive down the road and people cut you off and they try to do stupid things. You're like, what's the matter with you? And it's like, what Christ would do? You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? That old sin, that car's going, flutter. You know what I mean? No. I don't think that's what He would do. But we like that, don't we? We think, I'll get you. No! We're supposed to be more like Christ. We're supposed to be more loving, more calm, more relaxed, without medication. Huh? Yeah. Look at this. Verse 19. This is where the rubber hits the road. That you may really come to know, practically through experience for yourselves, the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience, that you may be filled through all your being unto all the fullness of God. You may have the richest measure of the divine presence and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God Himself. That's a lot. That's not a lot of words, isn't it? Yeah. How do you get to know practically God? Through your problems. When you have a problem, what's the first thing? God, take it away! Huh? You remember that Calvin I? Take me away, God! Whatever the thing you float in the bath, whatever. You know what I'm saying? No! God says, dude, you need to learn something. I'm going to bring all the stupid idiot drivers in Cleveland right around you all the time until you learn something. Huh? Do you ever look at your problems that way? What do I need to learn from this situation? I learned that I can trust Him. I learned that I can believe everything He says. I learned that He loves me. I learned that I am an heir no matter how bad I screw it up. Because I still love you. I still love you. Even though you're an idiot, I still love you. Huh? I know God has to say that to me. He has to. He says, even though you're an idiot, I still love you. He has to. Because He knows me. He knows me. When you start looking at His Word and you start seeing how precious He is, how awesome He is, how precious He can be to you, knowing that no problem you suffer in this life, you are in it alone. Talked to a lady last night. Her husband passed away quite a few years ago. Her dad had passed away. She had no children. Her mother is 95 years old. So you know there's going to come a day. She said, when she dies, I'm going to be an orphan. And I said, you'll never be an orphan. So you are a child of the Almighty God. He has adopted you into a huge family. And there's a whole bunch of brothers and sisters out there staying behind you. You are adopted into that child of God. Huh? And I cried with her. I thought, yeah, that's what it's all about. It ain't doing a lot of stuff. Sometimes it's just saying a word. Sometimes it's just being there. Sometimes. Martin Luther said that you have to preach the gospel at all times and every occasion. And sometimes use words. Yeah. It's who you are. If Christ is settled in you, and that power is in you, and you can get a little excited. No, you can get a lot excited about when you preach the word. When you preach the word, it's like God is like, yes, I'm going to come through there. Guys, I told you this morning, and I looked at this, and I messed this, I looked, and I thought, there's no way. There's no way. There's no way. And God's like, there's a way, and I'll make it. And I'm like, okay, I'll trust you for it. And Dwayne gets up and goes in crowns. I'm like, okay, I see where we're going. Praise the Lord, huh? But if I wasn't looking at His Word and wasn't studying, I wouldn't even know that was there. Huh? You need to understand that God wants to be the power in your life. He wants to be first, foremost in your life. He wants you, when He says, you know what? I need you to go talk to that guy. I don't like that guy. He don't like me. I don't like him. Really? You go talk to him. Really? You apologize to that guy. I don't like him. It don't matter. You go do it. And then He goes, I'll make you. Really? Really? Yeah. And when you think, okay, Father, I see where we're going with this. I learned a long time ago the people that are miserable and hateful and hurtful to you, they need one thing. They need the Lord Jesus Christ in their life. They need it more than I do. Because they got no peace. It's just like we read about in 2 Corinthians. They got no peace. It's like everything coming against them. When you turn your back on God, God don't have to do anything to you. He just turns you over to your own devices, right? He don't have to do anything to you. And sometimes you need that one person to bump and say, brother, how you doing? Okay. What are you working on? Desert. What are you doing? Ain't that him? It's like, dude, one word answer. Angry, mad, all the time. And it's like, I know what you need. It ain't medication. It ain't anything you're going to get from this life. It's something you're going to have to find in the Scriptures. You're going to have to find in the Word. You're going to have to find Christ in your life. Amen. Yes. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, guys. Father, we so humbly come before Your precious home. We don't understand how awesome and precious You are to us. We don't understand all that You did on that cross. We do not understand why our life is the way it is. But Father, we can understand. We can trust. We can hope and know without a shadow of a doubt. We can have faith in You because You are always there. You're the power and strength of our life. You're the breath of our nostrils. You're the power in our bones. You're the blood flooding through our bones. Rather, the royal blood flowing through our veins, that we are children of the Almighty God, and that you love us, and there's nothing that we can do that's going to turn you away from us, and you are going to work in our life, and we're just going to praise and magnify you, knowing that you are here in our presence, in our midst, indwelling each and every one of us. Father, your power. Oh, Father, teach us how to lead, be led by that power, to let that power lead in our life, and that strength to be in our bones, and that joy in our hearts, and that joy and rejoicing in our minds, knowing that you are God and that you are in control, and there's nothing outside of your grasp. Father, we thank you. Father, we praise you. In your precious name we pray. Amen. As the praise team comes forward, elders want to come forward. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ, your personal Savior? If you don't, you need to. It's not just something we do. It's something that we are. And I bring that up because you just don't know. Today may be our last day on this earth. We don't know. Today may be the last chance you get. Today may be the last focus that maybe Christ is going to give you a chance to accept Him as your personal Lord and Savior. Jesse's here. Les is here. I'm going to help sing a song here this morning. If you have anything you need prayer for, I'd like you to come forward, because these men love you. And they've got an idea. They've got a grasp of what it is, the love of God in their life. And they want to share that with you. Let's sing a song. Don't be afraid to come forward. God loves you.
I once was lost, but now I'm found. Go in peace. The Lord bless you today and the coming week. And just look for Him working in your life, because I know He is. Praise the Lord.
Awesome message.
So you guys are going to be here next Sunday.
This is so on.
We're having a still professional.
Yeah.